Matthew chapter 6. So, here we are in Matthew chapter 6. And we had just gone through the portion talking about the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great that darkness is. And these passages are illuminating for us the perils of double-mindedness. Of trying to serve two masters. And so that brings us to this next section in verse 24 that says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And this is a a scenario that we've all seen play out many times in people's lives, right? Where their priorities are way out of line. And so they end up becoming a destructive force in life. And we see marriages where this happens at times. And so it was funny because the other day I was out with two of my sons. We were golfing with a fella that is, you know, kind of a friend of ours. And it's the first time that he had ever golfed with my two boys. And about the middle of the round of golf, we stop and he tells them a story. He says, you know, I used to golf all the time. He says, golf became like the most important thing to me. And I would go out in the morning, I'd golf all day. He said, it was just kind of my passion. And he said, I came home one day and my wife and my daughter were gone. But I still have my golf clubs. He said, I laid on the floor of the living room just crying out to the Lord for what a fool I'd been. And so he had to track down his wife and of course, ask forgiveness and repent, and they got back together. He said to the boys, it's funny because William wasn't sure what to think about a grown man opening up about life like that with a 12-year-old kid. So he's kind of looking at me like, is this okay, Dad, that I'm listening to this guy's story? So but he said, you know, ever since then, boys, I always call my wife and say, sweetheart, think I'll have time for golf this weekend? And I always check with her. And he said, and then secondly, he said, ever since then, I can't golf worth a lick. He said, I go out. And I hit it all over the place, but I'm not near the golfer I used to be. He said, it's like every time I hit a bad shot, it's like the Lord reminded me, don't put your heart here. Don't put your heart here. And so we have seen things like this all the time, sometimes in our own lives. That's why a passage like this hits so close to home for all of us. It hits close to home for me because it's so easy for our emotions to get tied up in certain things, isn't it? I remember a time when, and it may not even seem possible, my mind was, I think I was more committed to serving the Lord than to the Lord himself. And I don't know if you've ever been there either, but it's kind of a thing where you get a certain addiction or a certain commitment in your life, and it grows to a point and it overtakes the number one position of Jesus. And so we've talked about little examples like that. You remember when the disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven on the little village because they were offended for Jesus' sake, that village didn't want Jesus to come. And so he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. And yet they thought they were being zealous for the Lord, but yet in all their zeal, they were still missing the mark by a long ways. And you remember in Genesis chapter 24, in fact, why don't we go ahead and turn there real quick. It says, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, what if the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land? Must I need bring thy son again back to that land? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son back to that land. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spoke unto me, and that swore unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from there. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you will be clear from this oath, only don't bring my son back to that land. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning the matter. That's the first time in the scriptures that the word master is used. And so Abraham here is a picture of God, in a sense, the Father sending a servant to go and help find and prepare a wife for his son. And that is something that we get to do in this earth, right? I mean, we get to kind of participate in that process. And so the Father is saying to us, I want you to serve me in this purpose. I want you to serve my son, and I want you to serve his bride. Now, it's interesting, because this servant, his name was Eliezer, which we know from earlier in Genesis. And Eliezer, you remember when God showed up one day to Abraham, and he said to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be your exceeding great reward. I'm going to be your shield and buckler, you know, and all of this. And Abraham did that very human thing. He said to the Lord, Lord, that's nice, but what does it really ultimately mean if you bless me exceedingly and yet I don't have a son? All I have is this steward in my house, this servant. Eliezer of Damascus. Now, it's interesting because Eliezer was from Damascus, but Eliezer was considered Abraham's son. And if you look in the Hebrew there, when he says, all I have is this servant, the word there is really Ben. And Ben in Hebrew means what? Son, right? Benjamin, son of my right hand. And so he says, all I have is this son. And the Hebrew word there is, all I have is this son of possession. And what that means is, it's a boy that was born in Abraham's house. So it would count, he's the oldest of the boys born in his house. It wasn't born to him, it wasn't born to Sarah. He was born to other servants in the house, but he was the first. And so he would stand to be the heir of Abraham. And he was called a son of possession. And in some ways, we're a little bit like that because we're adopted into the Father's house. And then there comes a time when Abraham calls Eliezer and says, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear unto me that you will serve, you will obey my command, and you'll serve in the interest of my son and his bride. Now, this is the best thing in life, right? This is the best calling. It's interesting because Eliezer was of Damascus. Well, Damascus has a funny meaning. It means silent is the sackcloth weaver. Silent is the sackcloth weaver. Now, I want the sackcloth weaver to be silent in my life. And I imagine you want him to be silent in yours. You know, when you're running astray from the Lord, like the people of Nineveh, then you need to go visit the sackcloth guy and his weaver is going to be busy making lots of noise because he's got to prepare a lot of sackcloth because everybody in town has got to repent. Everybody in town is going to need sackcloth because they're all wayward. They're all going astray after their own interests. They're all serving some other master and not acknowledging God. And so it's interesting that we could be like Eliezer. Eliezer means God is my help. And so the only way we can serve God is when we know that it's not up to us because he's the one who helps us serve his own interests. And Abraham said the same when he told Eliezer, the angel of the Lord will go before you, so it's not going to be that hard, Eliezer. It's not like I'm counting entirely on you. I just want you to go. But the angel of the Lord's going to go before you, and he's going to do this on your behalf. And he's going to help you fulfill the calling that I'm giving you today. And so, how about a life without a closet full of sackcloth? Amen? I mean, a bunch of regrets every here and there, and a bunch of transgressions, and a little waywardness here and waywardness there. Boy, you need to stock up on it. And so, when we serve him, I think it's the Lord's way of saying, when you make me your master, then I'll give you a life full of more joy and less sackcloth. So Eliezer went. And he found that the angel of the Lord went before him. And if you and I will go and it just means wherever you are going, serve the Lord. Whatever you're doing, serve him. when you get up in the morning, His bidding is on your heart. You know, whatever your calling in life, whatever your job, wherever you are. You know, it's interesting. There was another servant in Scripture by the name of Gehazi. And he was a servant of Elisha. And Naaman, a very significant man, had come because he was leprous. And he wanted to be cleansed from his leprosy. And so Elisha said, I want you to go and duck yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And so I remember a preacher, I was talking to him one day because I was looking at all of the sermons he had preached. And I saw one of his sermons was called 7 Ducks in a Muddy River. And I said, what in the world could this be about? He said, get it and see. And so Naaman ducked himself 7 times in the river and was cleansed. And he said to Elisha, now I know that there is no God except the God of Israel. And he said, and then he asked 2 things of Elisha. He said, will you please let me reward you? Will you please let me give an offering to you? And he also said, will you please excuse me when I'm in my home country and I go into the temple there? Know that my heart won't be in it, even though I'm outwardly going through the motions. Will you excuse me for that? And Elisha said, go in peace. He said, I don't want your gift, however. And so, after Naaman had gone away, Elisha's servant Gehazi thought to himself, my master didn't take these things, but I'm going to go after Naaman, and I will obtain the reward. And so he caught up with Naaman. Naaman got down from his chariot, and he said, what can I do for you? And he said, you know, on second thought, my master sent me to come because 2 sons of the prophets have shown up to visit us, and we need some clothing for them and some silver for them. And so he said, and Naaman happily gave it to him. And so Gehazi went back and kept that for himself. And the next time he appeared in his master's presence, Elisha said to him, where have you been? Or where did you just come from? And he says, I have not been anywhere. And he said, don't you think that my heart went with you when you went after Naaman and met with him, and when you took from him those things? Don't you think this is the wrong time to be taking lands and treasures and possessions and garments? And so Elisha said, the leprosy of Naaman will be upon you. And it's unfortunate because leprosy, I mean, as scary as that might sound, what it does is it takes you out of commission. When you're a leper, you no longer can go into town. You can't go into market. You can't do anything except try to somehow stay alive by meeting your own needs. That's what happened with lepers back in the day. They lived a life with one thing: try to stay alive by meeting your own needs. It was the only option available to them. And so no longer were they eligible to do anything for anybody because they were locked out of all the spheres of society. And we don't want to lose the opportunities that God wants to have for us. And so Jesus is saying, don't serve two masters. Gehazi realized that even though he was serving Elisha, when he tried to also serve money and mammon, he ended up clinging to the mammon and despising, through his lies and dishonesty, his rightful master. And so, let's jump back to Matthew. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But one thing is true, you will serve somebody. You can't stay neutral. You end up serving somebody, you know. You do end up serving something. And that's the impossibility. We're either serving ourselves or we're serving the Lord. We're either serving money or we're serving God. And it's a challenge, in everything. With even some employers. If you work for them, part of your employment is an agreement that you will not have another job outside of that occupation. Because they want your loyalty. They want you to show up rested, not just having worked till 3 in the morning at a second job. And so they want your full loyalty. There are so many blessings that come with having a single eye and a single master and an undivided heart. And those are the things that we want for our families. Those are the things that we want for our own lives. And it just reminds me of the verse, I think in Psalm 90, the Psalm of Moses. Show your work unto your servant and your glory unto their children. Lord, give me an understanding of how I can serve you. And then through that service, I want you to reveal your glory to my children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you help us to serve you after the fashion of Eliezer, in a way that he served Abraham, in a way that he served the son and the bride. And Lord, I ask that your angel would go before us as well, that the Spirit of God would lead us and prepare the way for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.